prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. I did not say, hey, hey. How do you like that? Oh, now I did. Damn it. All right. So, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Today is Wednesday. We have a really great episode of Science for Humans today. We're going to talk about this article that's going viral. It was originally started in Reader's Digest online. 14 exercises to never do after age 50. We're going to examine them. I actually tried to reach out to a couple of the authors, but they can't be found, which makes me question who they are. Okay. After that, we're going to be joined by Dr. Andy Galpin. We're going to talk about nutrition and training styles that have an influence on changing muscle fibers. And this is going to be an interesting discussion. So that's a little bit later in the show. Of course, I have to thank All American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports for their generous contribution to this show as our title sponsor. Right now, you get six of their top-selling products absolutely free when you go to superhumanradio.net and click the EFX banner ad and put in your address, and you will pay $5 and change for shipping, but that's truly the shipping charge. And you'll get a box full of goodies that will convince you that these are the best sports performance products in the world. And you can try them before you buy them, because Dr. Jeff Galini believes that no one should buy anything before they try it. I hope he opens up a restaurant next, because I want to go in and I want to have the tomahawk ribeye for free before I pay for it. And without further...
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Open up a restaurant, Dr. J, so I could come in and try everything one day a week.
That's a good one, man. I would probably just slice it up and you can come in and get a little bite like Costco, you know, they give samples.
So here's a funny story real quick. When I was about 17 years old, I took this girl out to a French restaurant on a date. And I didn't know what steak au poivre was, right? I just figured it was steak. I didn't read that it was smothered in peppercorn and cream sauce. But more importantly, when they brought the steak au poivre out, it was probably like the size of a deck of cards. And I looked at the girl and I said, is this for me to taste to tell you if it's done well enough? Like, do you have my real steak in the back? And she laughed so hard. It's like, what's this? Oh, this is the sample. Oh, yeah, you can bring it out. It tastes good. Bring the whole steak out now.
I got one better for you, man.
Go ahead.
I remember years ago taking a gal out, and I didn't have a lot of money, was bodybuilding. So, you know, I had $100, which was, you know, a couple weeks worth of money. Figured more than enough, but, you know, I could pull out $100 bill and impress her. Well, she takes me to this fancy Thai restaurant, and I'm looking at the menu and going, oh my goodness, what she ordered came to like $85. And I had to fake like I wasn't that hungry, so I asked for like a little salad or a dill pickle and some water.
And you got to go, well, but at least you had the excuse.
And I said, I'm dieting, you know, so I don't have any calories left. Do you have like a salad or a dill pickle?
I knew you were going to go there. Oh, I'm dieting right now. I can't eat anyway, so this works out good.
Yeah.
Did you ever go out on a date with her again after that?
No, that was it.
That is such a great story. the pain of being a professional athlete in a sport that is not supported very heavily by industry. But that's funny.
Yeah,
that's funny. So there's an article going around the internet. Everybody is reposting it and reposting it. It started off in Reader's Digest online. 14 exercises to never do after 50. I want to go through them, but I want to start out with the most absurd ones of all. Push-ups. Push-ups. They're telling people over 50 not to do push-ups. The classic move may be a great way to build all-over strength, but it puts a lot of stress on the shoulders and upper back, says Dr. Bartel, who's a doctor of chiropractic. I tried to track him down before the show to get a comment from him. He recommends doing wall pushes instead. That's nothing. Stand up and against the wall angle your body towards the wall and do the push-ups this way. So, but the muscles will still be working, but it takes the strain off the shoulder. It takes all progressive overload off the body, too. It defeats the purpose of doing push-ups.
Yeah, I mean, when you sent this over, all I could say is there are some stupid people out there that put out stupid stuff. What's he trying to sell? Because this makes no difference. First of all, what is the deal with 50 years old?
Yeah, I know. Like, oh, I know, exactly. Oh, does your body just go the morning that you turn 50? Okay, we don't do that stuff anymore.
But see, this is why people start to have trouble as they age, because if you listen to this idiot, and let's say, oops, I shouldn't use the I word, but, you know, you listen to somebody like this, and you've been on a healthy training plan, and all of a sudden you go, oh, well, geez, this guy, I'm not going to do any of this anymore. And then you start getting fat and out of shape, and you start having health issues.
And has this, you know, can I use the I word in your presence?
Go ahead. It seems
appropriate. Has this idiot seen any of the research that's come out of the California Veterans Administration, large-scale research on longevity, disease, and strength, that the strongest men live the longest and have the least diseases? And you guess how they stay strong? They don't stay strong by avoiding push-ups, guy. Listen to this one, Dr. J. This one is the reason I tried to track the guy down, because I realized at this moment, oh, I see, this guy doesn't know anything about kinesiology. He's a doctor of chiropractic, but he knows nothing about kinesiology. He says, don't do bench presses. They create a lot of tension and stress on your neck and your shoulders. If you're doing bench presses that are putting stress on your neck and on your neck, you're doing them wrong. But he says,
oh, gosh.
But listen to this. Guess what he picks as the replacement exercise for doing bench presses? A rowing machine.
Oh, gosh.
A rowing machine is working your back and your biceps and your brachials. And a bench press is working your shoulders and your pecs and your triceps. Like, one isn't even a replacement for the other. They are the actual antithesis of each other.
Where does this guy get his chiropractic license? Online?
Guatemala. I mean, Guatemala.
On.
Yeah, it was an online course in Guatemala.
Yeah, you know, because a part of being a chiropractor is you need to know anatomy and physiology. You know, and I'm all for chiropractic care because I believe in it. It works. It makes sense. This would have been more appropriate if he related this to injuries. You have a ruptured sternum, you know, or you have some sternum issues or rib issues. Stay away from bench presses. Okay, you know, your lower back, your L5 is really degenerated. I recommend not doing deadlifts. Let me give you some alternatives. That would have made a little more sense.
Well, and he picks on the leg press machine, and instead of saying maintain a curve at the base of the spine, make sure your lumbar spine is still curved. Don't let it flatten out. He says don't do the movement because it will flatten out the curve of the spine. Now, keep in mind that Dr. William Seeds, a world renowned orthopedic surgeon, said to me that doing my leg presses was probably a good thing given my lumbar spine issues from squatting and deadlifting, because it actually, by flattening out that curvature, it opens up the vertebrae. So that's the exact opposite of what this guy is saying.
Well, and look at this one under spin classes. He's basically saying everybody at 50 has joint, heart, and lung conditions.
Yeah.
Fast-paced spin classes are built on HIIT. Concept, and they can be too intense for elderly people. 50s elderly, especially if they have joint, heart, or lung conditions.
Well,
what
are you going to tell the 50-year-old construction worker who still has to work in construction for another 15 years? Quit your job? Don't lift heavy stuff? Don't go up the stairs while you're carrying stuff?
And if you've got a heart condition, you better get your metabolic rate up.
Yes.
That's good for you.
Yes. You want to reverse a heart condition and start slowly, but start using progressive overload and cardio. Combine them, and you will reverse your heart problem.
And, you know, if you've got joint problems, you know, the bike is probably one of the easiest things to do versus, you know, trying to run or Stairmaster. it's okay. You know, I understand if somebody has bad knees, you know, you've got to work around it. But don't just not join a spin class. I mean, you know, now I'm not a fan of those things because I like to do things at my own pace. But, you know, that doesn't mean they're bad for you.
You know, what I find on the internet today is if you find anything that is completely contrary to the popular wisdom, it becomes clickbait. You know, everybody is clicking on this, right? Everybody's talking about this. So it's getting done what they intended for it to get done, which is to get a lot of people to look at their website,
right,
whether they agree or disagree. But you made a point before we went on the air. The real problem is that there are people who are going to literally believe this, and it's going to justify their lack of exercise. They're going to, oh, it's a good thing I don't do those things. I mean, right now, there is somebody reading this article out loud to their wife, and their wife has been saying, you got to start exercising. You're getting fat.
Yep.
And he's going, see, I'm 56. I told you these were no good. You don't know what you're talking about. This is the sad part about the internet today, that information travels fast, and stupid information travels faster.
Yeah, and let's face it, there's more stupid information out there because I call them the internet experts. And it started way back when the first online was America Online. There was no really internet. And people started putting stuff out there. I mean, it was like reading the National Enquirer. You know, I mean, some things you know is fake. I mean, how many people argued for years that professional wrestling wasn't fake?
Yeah, right.
It's entertainment. Right. Well, that's what this is. You know, it's entertainment. They want you to go to their website. They're selling you something. Look at all the ads up and down the page. You know, click this, click that. I mean, they're selling stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine that somebody would really think this.
You know, and it's funny. I got into a woman reached out to me on Facebook Messenger. Wants me to promote this product on my show, and it's an MLM product, and it's a growth hormone gel, a homeopathic growth hormone gel. And I was very polite at first and said, I've already seen this information. There's no science behind it. And she keeps coming back and telling me, but there's a million people selling it, and they're making millions of dollars, and it's a million people. And I realized at that moment that had Jimmy Jones had access to Facebook, the number of people he could have gotten to drink Kool-Aid would have been literally millions of people. He could have killed millions of – he could have had them mix the poison in the Kool-Aid in their own kitchens and then sit in front of a Facebook Live, and millions of people would have checked out at the same time, because there are that many gullible people in the world today. It's just really shocking to me. There's no critical thinking left anymore.
Well, and look at all the, you know, the stupid kids who ate the Tide Pods, and all of a sudden everybody's doing that. I mean, again, you have to be careful. Anybody can call themselves an expert. You know, as you said, this guy says he's a doctor, a chiropractor. We couldn't even find him. So is he really a doctor? Or, you know, but whether it's weight training, diet, fad diets, TV commercials, most of it is fake. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you have to learn your body. And I tell people over and over and over again, it's like your car. You know when something's not right. You know, you take your hand off the wheel and it pulls to the right, you better go get an alignment. Your body's the same way. You know, if you are 50 years old and you are healthy and you enjoy squatting and deadlifting and bench pressing, why would you stop?
Yes.
Because somebody like this tells you, oh, it's not good for you? Well, where's the science? And in here, he doesn't really say why.
No.
It's really just his opinion.
And like you said earlier, at least if he would have come at it from and said, the number one, two, and three injuries I treat are guys who bench press and deadlift and squat, right? Then you go, okay, I get it. But that doesn't mean don't do it. And I want to take a quick commercial break a little early, because I want to come back and spend some time on what I believe the core problem is that we're dealing with. And it's not just in this article. It's completely widespread. It's promoted by our government. It's promoted by businesses. And it's the real issue at the core of this discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Who ever heard of a supplement company that lets you pick the products they make and sell? What you have now, we are All American Body, a factory direct supplement brand proudly brought to you by All American Pharmaceutical. Don't pay more somewhere else. You can get the same or even better products directly from us. Now check this out. All American Body is a brand about you. Tell us what to make next so you can save big. Go ahead and request a specific ingredient. You know, arginine, citrulline, vitamin D, a product type or category, keto, greens, naturals, herbals, nootropics, and even a specific branded product or formula. We'll either copy it exactly or make it even better. And best of all, it won't cost anything close to what you've been paying, period. And if we do end up using your suggestion, you'll get the first bottle absolutely free. We'll also give you full credit on that product's description page. You'll be famous, signing autographs and people asking you to take pictures with them wherever you go. So head on over to allamericanbody.com right now. That's allamericanbody.com and make your product request today. All American Body. Crazy savings, insane results.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Dr. Jeff, there is a bigger problem afoot here, and I want to bring you back 6 years ago for a second. So 6 years ago, the Food and Drug Administration and the CDC, they issued a warning to people to stop washing chicken before cooking it. And the reason they did that was because what was happening was people were washing their chicken and it was splashing on their countertop. And then they were preparing food on the countertop and they were contaminating what splashed off of the chicken onto the countertop, onto other food, and they were experiencing salmonella poisoning. This happened enough times for them to see a trend where they then issued a warning, don't wash your chicken. Now, if there's salmonella on your chicken, you should wash it before you cook it. That's a logical thing. But why did the government tell people to stop washing their chicken? Because they believed that people were too stupid to understand, after you wash your chicken, make sure you use a disinfecting wipe and wipe everything up first before you put other food there. They thought, oh, that's too much for people to understand. Just tell them not to wash your chicken and the problem is solved. And that is the core of the problem today. Even in this article, right? See, everybody wants a one-sentence answer for everything. Just tell me what to do. But instead of saying to people, you can do push-ups, you can do pull-ups, you can even do squats with weight, but you have to build up to it slowly. You have to condition yourself. That's too hard of a message. It's just easy to tell people not to do it because everybody today in the mainstream thinks that we are too stupid to take care of ourselves.
Well, that's exactly it. And, you know, this is an interesting thing. I was listening to a marketing expert, and they were talking about the trend in health and fitness is no longer advertise like people lifting weights or powerlifters because that's too much work for people. They just want to see a healthy lifestyle. If they drink this energy drink, they're going to look like these young girls. No work involved. And you look at the obesity rate right now, it's the highest it's ever been in our country, and you wonder why. Because too many people are reading articles like this, or they're listening to something on TV, and they're looking for the easy way out. They want somebody to justify. Do you remember years ago when that whole movement went on? Just be happy with yourself, you know? Don't worry about how you look.
Yeah. Don't improve. Just accept what you have. Yeah, yeah.
It's okay to be a plus size. You know, it's okay.
But interestingly enough, the medical orthodoxy doesn't say that because if they did, you'd walk in and they go, man, your blood sugar is really creeping up, but don't worry about it. Just be happy with it. Just accept it. No, they go, no, we got to put you on medication.
Yep.
So the reality is that people are not too stupid to care for themselves. Just give them the correct information. Wipe your countertops down after you wash your chicken. That's the right information. All of these things should have been over 50 before you start doing these. Make sure to work with a personal trainer and make sure you're conditioned and ready to be doing these things. But that doesn't make people click links and go to Reader's Digest online.
No. And, you know, again, if you want health and fitness advice, don't go to Reader's Digest. What should have been said is if you are 50 and you've never exercised in your life and you would like to start exercising, don't start out being a powerlifter. You know, again, giving some practical advice, helping them get into a program. But again, this is the problem is this is giving somebody the easy way out. And as a chiropractor, I've never heard a chiropractor that I've known ever tell somebody to stop lifting. Even when I was competing, and if I got an injury, I went to a chiropractor, and I was back in the gym a couple days later. You know, they gave me advice on what to do after the gym, but they didn't tell me, oh, just don't work out for 6 months. That wasn't their job. Their job was to get me fixed and back at it.
Yeah, and let's not forget that this is confirmation reinforcement. This is a bias reinforcement. So I have friends who don't exercise. They tell me about people that they know who exercised that died. And that is their justification for not exercising. Now, tomorrow we're actually going to have someone you know, Eric Broser, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I started talking about having Eric on the show, I got emails and messages from people. Oh, well, you know, he must have been on drugs. And I would say, why? Well, he's a bodybuilder. So let me get this straight. If an average person has a heart attack at 40, it's no big thing. But if a bodybuilder has a heart attack at 40, it's got to be drugs.
Well, let me give everybody a news flash. There's two things that you have to do. Pay taxes and die.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Everybody's going to die. You know, there is no guarantee. You know, your car is eventually going to run out of life. It's going to break. The motor's going to blow up. But how you take care of it is going to be dependent. Now, one of the things you'll find out about Eric is it was genetic. But, yeah, everybody says, geez, I wonder, you know. And, I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, I've known Eric for a long time. He's been all natural. But that was the something that went through my mind is, oh, my gosh, I hope that because he's training all of these athletes, somebody didn't force him over to the dark side and he did something stupid. Well, thank goodness it wasn't. But, you know, and I do get tired of that going, well, you know, there's people, you know, died at 50 and they exercise. So why should I do it? My grandma smoked till she was 95 years old.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Died of naturally.
Yeah, they cite an outlier and go, well, that's okay. See, because this one person lived.
And, you know, and there are that one person who exercised and lived to be 100. So, again, you can always find an outlier. But if you want to play Russian roulette, go right ahead. I mean, you know, it doesn't say on the cigarette package smoking may cause cancer. It says it causes cancer.
Right, right.
And if you want to be the one that it doesn't, then that's Russian roulette to me.
Yeah, take your chances. I like that. I like that a lot. So in summary,
the day, follow it, people who have reputable reputations,
yeah,
you know, to get advice from.
And that's what was going to be my summary. In summary, if you're over 50 and you've never ever, and that was a great point you made. If you're over 50 and you've never exercised before, don't be a dumb ASS.
Yeah.
Go find the personal trainer, start slow. You'll be able to do all these things. But 50 is just a number. In fact, it's a goal because you should keep getting older. That should be your goal, not to die young. And there's nothing you can't do at 50 that you didn't do at 20. That's nonsense. If you work at it, you train for it, you sleep, you eat, you breathe it, you can do it.
The thing that you should be at 50 is you should be smarter than when you were 16 years old, you know. So that's what I always tell people is, you know, I've gotten a little smarter. When I was younger, I overtrained, you know. There's certain things that, you know, you don't eat McDonald's hamburgers, you know, every day when you're 50. You know, you can get away with a little bit of that, but what you got to remember is you are building those fat cells when you're young, and those never leave you. Mm-hmm. You don't build those when you're adults. So again, you know, you have to be a little bit smarter training. You know, I always tell people, if you're going to do a spin class or, you know, one of these boot camp classes, don't jump into the advanced class if you've never worked out. You're going to get hurt. Find a starting class. Work your way up. You know, I mean, you and I, when we take time off to the gym, do you just jump right back in there? No, you start slowly and you ease your way back into
right,
it.
Right. Be sensible. Be smart.
Yes.
You know, it's a distance race, not a sprint. Life.
Life
is a distance race.
If anybody listens to anything, that's probably the best advice that I've ever heard is it's a long distance, you know, not a sprint.
All right, brother. We got it covered, I think, huh?
We do.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later, man.
All right.
Thank you to Dr. Jeff, of course, for coming on. And we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about transitioning muscle fibers. There are things you can do to affect that. Stay tuned.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Who ever heard of a supplement company that lets you pick the products they make and sell? What you have now, we are All American Body, a factory direct supplement brand proudly brought to you by All American Pharmaceutical. Don't pay more somewhere else. You can get the same or even better products directly from us. Now check this out. All American Body is a brand about you. Tell us what to make next so you can save big. Go ahead and request a specific ingredient. You know, arginine, citrulline, vitamin D, a product type or category, keto, greens, naturals, herbals, nootropics, and even a specific branded product or formula. We'll either copy it exactly or make it even better. And best of all, it won't cost anything close to what you've been paying, period. And if we do end up using your suggestion, you'll get the first bottle absolutely free. We'll also give you full credit on that product's description page. You'll be famous, signing autographs and people asking you to take pictures with them wherever you go. So head on over to allamericanbody.com right now. That's allamericanbody.com and make your product request today. All American Body. Crazy savings, insane results.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
For the past 4 months, I've been keeping a secret. Every night at bedtime, I tape my mouth shut with Somnifix strips. That's right, and here's why. Whether you snore or not, at some point in the night, almost all of us start breathing through our mouth. Since I've started using Somnifix strips, I've noticed that I sleep deeper and have seen improvements in my health, fitness, and cognitive function. That's because nose breathing activates the parasympathetic nervous system and improves nitric oxide production. And that leads to improved sleep immunity, carbon dioxide, oxygen exchange, and much more. Oh, and if you do snore, it'll help you stop snoring. Try Somnifix risk-free. Go to SOMNIFIX.com/SHR. Get a free trial pack of Somnifix strips today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. Whenever we read studies about hypertrophy and strength acquisition, we always hear discussions about muscle fiber types, and many of us, we just kind of glean over it. You know, we know, oh, you know, type 1, type 2, fast twitch, slow twitch, and then there's subfractions. But we really don't understand the contribution to performance that these specific fiber types actually provide. And if we did, maybe we would do things differently for our given sport to predispose our muscles to a greater ability to provide us with the ranges of performance that we're looking for. And there are a few people who know more about this than Dr. Andy Galpin. How you doing, Andy?
Oh, fantastic, man. I didn't realize I was going to be on live radio today.
Oh, yeah, baby. This is real stuff here, man. This is I'm the only one that still does live radio. I've been doing it for 13 years. There's just something a lot sexier about it, and I'll tell you part of it that I've discovered just kind of as a tangential discussion. I find that people realize that this isn't highly polished, highly edited. We remove the bad stuff and only leave the good stuff. So they trust this show a lot more for their information as a result of that. I've learned that over the years. But yeah, it's just a phone call between you and I. That's all it really is. That's all it is.
Hey, no worries, man. I'm just used to doing, you know, podcast after podcast. And I got to be honest, man, a lot of times I just sort of check out because I'm like, this is a podcast. I'll release it in a month or something. But now we're going live.
No, we're live.
Radio, and I got to be A-game now.
Yeah, you got to be on, baby. And not only is this going out live internet radio stream right now, people are listening live. But this will be up in the podcast directories by tomorrow morning. So we move fast. I know. I've actually been doing other people's shows for the first time in 13 years. And it's like, oh, great. We did this show. So when will it be released? 6 weeks. I'm like, what? 6 weeks. Yeah, we got to wave a lot of magic wands over it before we release it. Like, okay. All right. Not my
experience. Yeah, that happens, man.
Anyway, Andy, talk a little bit. You mind if I just call you Andy?
Yeah, of course.
I had a really interesting question that I came up with last night as I was dozing off to sleep. So as far as muscle fibers go, we tend to have a mix, right? If you're not trained, if you're just an average walking around person, we have a mix of slow and fast twitch fiber types, right?
Well, actually it's quite different for every muscle. So depending on which muscle you're talking about, and it sort of follows function. So like the soleus, which is the back of your calf, it's meant to keep you upright all day, is going to be primarily slow twitch.
Where
the other muscle right next to it, the gastroc, is, you know, help there to make you jump and sprint and explode, is going to be primarily slow or fast twitch. But having said that, in humans, we don't necessarily have any muscles that are fully one fiber type. And so you're actually right. Basically while some of our muscles are hedged more towards slow or fast, all the muscles have a combination of both of them, at the very surface level anyways. And it actually gets quite a bit more complicated than that, as you alluded to earlier. But just to stop right there, yeah, you're sort of correct.
So when we're born, are we born with a predominance of one type of muscle fiber than the other? Since we're not ambulatory yet, we're not really loading muscles yet?
Well, that's a great question. And we honestly don't know because we can't do biopsies of people under 18. So it's a bit of a mystery. We know that there are actually different fiber types. There's one called neonatal that people that have when you're a baby. And so that's pretty well documented from autopsy and stuff, story. But I don't really know what it looks like. Of course, the plasticity that happens in people with everything you do, changes in physical activity or inactivity, change your fiber type so quickly. I have to imagine that the profile is quite different when you're a baby, but specifically, we don't know exactly what it is outside of that neonatal one.
Is there, before we get into the discussion about how to actually affect fiber type transitions, is there any advantage to actually, what I'm looking for is, Dave Palumbo used to be a long distance runner and in high school and in early college years. And then he became a bodybuilder and he had ridiculously freakish legs back then, when bodybuilders back in the day were competing against him. And he once told me that he thought it was because of all the long distance running he did and then the radical remodeling of muscle fibers through bodybuilding. Is there any slingshot effect when you do influence muscle fibers to change from fast to slow or from slow to fast that we see as opposed to just they stay that way indefinitely and they only go to a certain point of growth?
Well, I can't really speak to that case. I think it's probably more of retroactively explaining than it was actually causation there. So I don't really know what his fiber type. That's an interesting case, but no, the amount of plasticity or the amount of change from fast to slow or slow to fast is virtually unlimited given enough exposure. you know, exposure is simply time and volume, if you will. So if you do a lot of work over a short period of time or a little bit of work over a long period of time, then we basically see unlimited change. And of course, just like strength or weight loss or anything, it's always the rate of increase or change decreases with time. So you're not just going to keep getting 5% change, you know, every month for the rest of your life. That slope will change. But to give you one example, we just recently published a study on monozygous twins. So to monozygous meaning they have the exact same DNA. So effectively what that means is we controlled for genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And the twins had about 30 to 35 years of different exercise or different training. So one set of the twins, the control ones, did basically no exercise outside of daily living. And the other ones were straight endurance athletes. So marathoners, triathletes, things like this. So no intervals, no strength training really, other than like a day a week of upper body, kind of 3 sets of 10 lat raises or lateral raises and pull downs and stuff. And what we saw was that the untrained folks, they were about 40% slow twitch, about 40% fast twitch. I'll just make it easier. They're about 50-50 fast slow. But the trained ones, so again, remember, exact same DNA, were about 90 to 95% slow twitch. And so I think that really, really, really highlights the fact that they'll go as far as you want. You keep giving them the same stimulus, or you keep giving them a stimulus, they will continue to change. Now, in this case, you got to remember they got 30, 35 years of this type of training, so you're not going to see a change from 50% fast twitch to 90% fast twitch in
right.
a good 6-week training camp or anything like that. But, I mean, fundamentally, there really is no limit to how far they will go to be specific to the demands imposed upon them.
Interesting. Are there any advantages? You know, I started saying on this show 13 years ago, when I was first doing the show with Clear Channel, every day when I closed the show, I would say muscle is metabolic currency, so get mm-hmm. into the gym and make a deposit today. And as muscle being metabolic currency, what I meant by that was muscle is something that it uses energy. It uses calories. Is there an advantage to fast or slow twitch muscle fibers when we're looking at it from that standpoint, energy utilization, a higher metabolic rate? Do fast twitch predominance versus slow twitch provide a higher metabolic rate for a person?
That's a really good question. So the answer is yes. I think it's a bit deceiving, because I'll put it this way. Your bigger point, your global point of what you're trying to get people to do is correct. The detail is a little off, but it's going to be the net result is the right thing. And so that's the important thing to understand is, so to unpack that just a little bit, there are pros and cons to slow and fast twitch. The metabolic rate is different. The energetic demands are different, no doubt. And it's not that one is better than the other. But what I can tell you is the average person, particularly aging, so those people that are trying to age as successful as possible, to live as long as what we call crush aging, right? So I just don't want to live to 90. I want to be 90 and be extremely active. It's important to have both slow twitch and fast twitch fibers. But what happens for the most part is people take care of their slow twitch fibers by just doing activities of daily living or moving.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are innervated with low threshold neurons. So they're innervated with low force movements, walking, sitting, moving. The problem is the preservation of the fast twitch fibers. So there's a term in aging called sarcopenia. And this is the accelerated loss of muscle mass with aging. So we know that there's going to be some loss of muscle with aging, but this is an abnormally accelerated loss. Well, that is actually synonymous with the loss of fast twitch fibers and fast twitch fiber size. So the primary problem with aging, period, is loss of muscle. This is the single biggest, most detrimental, most common issue people have with aging is loss of muscle. And within that, the primary cause of that is loss of the fast twitch fibers. So it's not that they're more important per se, but they are more important for you to target in your training and your workouts and in your life, because those are the ones you're going to lose. And the reason is, the only way to activate fast twitch muscle fibers is to activate fast twitch motor neurons. And motor neurons are only activated under high force situations. And so again, you can take care of the slow twitch neurons by doing, you know, gardening and whole host or whatever physical activity, parking your car, you know, a few steps farther, all those basic
or even traditional cardio training, like walking on a treadmill, stationary cycling and stuff like that, right? That works as well. Yeah.
Totally. I mean, this is basically all the stuff that we've been kind of told to do, you know, like physical activity stuff.
Right, right.
But what that won't do is target those faster fibers. And that's the real thing. Again, if you want to preserve aging, longevity, your health, you want to get back to function, this is why people like you and I emphasize this strength training, this heavy stuff, this gym stuff so much, is because you just can't get that any other way, because they will not be activated without force demands. Once you don't activate those things, they die. And what's specific about those fibers is once they die and they're gone forever.
Are they gone because the innervation disappears, or are they gone because there's something that happens to the actual muscle fiber itself?
The actual muscle fiber will start by shrinking, so it'll atrophy, and then eventually that fiber will die. And then what happens is, since you have a motor neuron, which is a nerve, and you got a whole bunch of anywhere between like 5 and 500 muscle fibers that are being controlled by a single nerve. Well, when those fibers start to die out, other neighboring nerves will grow new extensions attached to that fiber and then take it over. Well, the problem is the ones that are typically dying are the fast twitch fibers, and so the ones that are reaching out and growing new ends and attaching are the slow twitch ones. And so you end up getting what's called fiber type grouping, which is, instead of having, say, your bicep that has a mix of fast and slow kind of spread out throughout the muscle fiber, the advantage is that gives you kind of smooth contraction. Well, if you have this fiber type grouping, you have these big, huge chunks of pure fast twitch and big, huge chunks of slow twitch. And eventually more and more of the fast twitch fibers die out. More of them die out. They get smaller and smaller. You get spastic movement and you get low force movement. And that also causes high fatigue. And this is one thing people don't understand. If you're weak, that makes you fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a ton of slow twitch fibers. You could be in great cardio shape. But anytime you have to go do something heavy or explosive, you get very tired, because you have to use a lot more motor neurons and a lot more muscle fibers to get the same amount of force.
See, this is scary to me. What you're talking about right now actually is scaring me, and I'll tell you why. In 2016, I crushed my foot, and it's been a struggle for me. I have not been able to truly train legs with any significant intensity since 2017. And my upper legs have really shrunk. And my left soleus and gastroc is so small now. And I'm having surgery in November, and I'll be able to train again. But what I've noticed over the past couple of years is this. With my legs shrinking, there is an amount of pain, muscle pain, that I can – I keep thinking to myself it's because something is – there's fibers dying in my leg, and it's painful to feel them die because there's so many of them. And I'm worried that I'll never be able to reacquire the strength that I had in my legs. My legs were my bread and butter. I mean, of all my strength, my legs were by far the strongest. And so is it possible to bring them back? Is it possible to – because, you know, we hear about – like I use growth hormone 5 days a week. It's prescribed. And we hear about, you know, the possibility of new stem cell satellite cells forming and new fibers forming. Is it possible to bring them back, or once they're dead, you're sunk? That's it.
Okay. Ooh, really good stuff here. So what you're talking about is a term called hyperplasia.
Right.
Okay? And now actually probably the more correct scientific term is called fiber splitting. So it's not that you grow a new cell per se. It's just that one of the cells you have splits in half. And so now you have two, things like that. Well, for 50 plus years, they've been telling us that that stuff is impossible and that it doesn't happen in humans. And now I think the evidence is so overwhelmingly clear that that does happen that we have to go back and rewrite all these textbooks. The question on that stuff is, I don't know exactly what it takes to do that. I can't give you a prescription. It probably is not just going to happen again in a few weeks of lifting. It probably takes a long time. One piece of evidence that we do have is exogenous hormone therapies, primarily testosterone, has been shown several times to induce that process. And so I'm very confident. And again, we need this. This is really preliminary. So we're just kind of on the front end of this curve. But I'm very confident that if you put in a strength training routine that incorporated a lot of eccentric work and You're coupling that with exogenous hormones. I'm confident you could.
I've been on testosterone since 2007. I do remember, and I would never use Trenbolone ever again. I'm 60 years old now, but I did use a lot of Tren back in the day. You know, and when my goals were different than living longer, and and Tren, there is a study out there that shows that Trenbolone can influence hyperplasia, but I've been on testosterone since 2007 on HRT. I mean, it's already in the mix. I guess what I really need to do is part of the reason I don't train my legs is because they're just not that strong anymore, and I don't want to be reminded of that. But I guess I just need to swallow my ego and get back in the gym and do leg presses or whatever I can in the meantime.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what I'll tell people is everyone's going to go through that at some point. Right? You're going to reach an injury, or you're just going to reach an age where you don't want to go through that. But I would just go back in and do some variation. So change the tempo, change the range of motion, change the style that you're doing, change the exercise. You know, if you can't squat, try leg press. If you can't try that, maybe start at leg extension. Those are not all equal, but something. Maintenance of what you currently have is pretty easy. Regrowing what you've lost is far more difficult.
Yeah.
So if you just do something, like just do something once a week, get in there and just keep it alive, you're going to be fine for a couple of years. So if you deal with an injury that takes you out for a year or two, a little bit of maintenance work goes a long ways. You take that year or two off, now you're in trouble.
I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to start delving into what sports lend themselves to the different fiber type, the benefits of different fiber type predominance. And then we'll also get into what nutritional approaches and exercise approaches can influence those fiber types. We're talking right now with Dr. Andy Galpin. His website is andygalpin, GALPIN.com. And you have a book, you said, right?
Yeah, it's called Unplug, Evolve from Technology to Upgrade Your Fitness, Performance, and Consciousness. And so it's a guide for how to and how to not misuse different training and exercise technology.
So it's actually, their interest is piqued by this interview, they should buy the book, you're saying?
Absolutely. It's on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all that stuff.
Okay, so there you go. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
You've got your devices and apps that track your activity, workouts, sleep, and diet. You have your medical records and blood work. All this data and none of it is integrated, so you can see a true snapshot of just what progress you're making and where. Now you can securely centralize all this data and become the CEO of your health. Heads Up Health gives you powerful dashboards, charts, and tools to connect all your data into meaningful information. One seamless platform. Go to headsuphealth.com today. Use code SHR and get 20% off your subscription. That's headsuphealth.com and use code SHR.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
If you do one thing for yourself this year, and the year's almost up, that'll actually make you a better human being for 2019, you must subscribe to Blinkist, BLINKIST.com/superhuman. You get a 7-day free trial. This is the greatest app I've ever found. I kid you not. You know, I'm a geek for reading stuff, right? But who has the time? So then I started using audiobooks, right? And then you still have to invest the same amount of time listening to somebody else read it to you. Well, Blinkist takes nonfiction books in a variety of categories: personal growth and improvement, psychology, productivity and time management, management and leadership, communication skills, motivation, inspiration, science, mindfulness and help and happiness. And the list goes on and on. They read the books. They pick out the salient information in the books. They reduce them to what they call blinks. And sometimes there's 15 or 12 or 10 or 18 blinks for a given book. And you get all of this information delivered to you in like 15 minutes. So you're in your car, you're doing cardio. Like today, I'm going to be, I don't know why I'm going to read this. I can't even call read it. I'm going to absorb this book today. Cannibalism. It's a scientific and historical view of the cultural approach to understanding cannibalism. These blinks explain why animals eat their own, why it's become taboo for humans to do it, and why it may be coming, making a comeback. And like I saw that, I thought, I want to listen to that. So today after the show, I'm going to be working at my desk, and I'm going to listen to that and absorb that information. I'm telling you, this is the greatest app I've ever seen in my life because it makes you smarter and you don't have to allot any additional time than you're already setting aside right now just to live your life. Blinkist, BLINKIST.com/superhuman. Get a 7-day free trial. You will love it. We're talking with Dr. Andy Galpin. So let's talk a little bit about this phenomenon of sports and the benefits of being more predominantly fast twitch or slow twitch. Can you give me some examples?
Yeah, sure. So we've known for quite some time that if you look at any of the sports in these, what we'll call steady state cardio or steady state endurance. So this is your classic marathon or anything that's of probably 20 minutes or longer and of the same pace. So non-interval based things. It's generally more advantageous to have a lot of slow twitch fibers, but you have to be careful there because people often associate that with also compromising fast twitch fibers. And if you do that, you run slow. You move slow. And it's hard to run fast if you can't move fast. And so studies were done in the 70s and 80s on that, and we had a good idea that, hey, a lot of these marathoners, for example, are almost entirely slow twitch. But what we know now is the methods that those folks used 50 years ago are are a little bit wrong, and they're off, and they kind of miscalibrate or miscategorize these fibers. And to be honest with you, people haven't redone those studies. And so, you know, I look at what happened a couple of weeks ago, and that guy, you know, ran a marathon in 2 hours and a minute. And you start breaking that down, he ran something like a 420 mile pace for 26 miles. That's a 60-some second 400 meter dash 100 times in a row.
Wow.
You can't run a 400 meter dash in 60 seconds if you're slow.
Right. Right.
That's just blazingly fast. So I've always wondered, if you start taking biopsies of these people now and you really look at them, I mean, how much slow twitch they really, really, really have? Because if you're 90% slow twitch, you can go for a long time, but you can't go for a long time fast.
You know what I think about slow twitch and fast twitch fibers, the relationship? If you've ever done bench presses and you've had a spotter, you know that magic fingers, we call them, right? Like a spotter will literally just touch the bottom of the bar and it starts moving up.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like the slow twitch fibers are magic fingers to the fast twitch fibers. Like the fast twitch fibers are burning it up, but they get a little fatigued. And so the slow twitch go, hey, brother, shift your burden to me for a little while and you'll come right back. And they do. And then they come back and you go again. So I kind of feel like I've always thought that the slow twitch fibers were kind of like like a baseline of strength for the fast twitch fibers to operate from.
Yeah, that's a very good way to think about it, because as you start increasing force output, then you start increasing fast twitch fiber innervation. So basically, when you start and you pick up a pencil, you're not going to be using any fast twitch fibers. That'll be entirely slow twitch. And then if you pick up a pencil that has that's twice the weight, then you'll start using more slow twitch. And then if that pencil turns into a dumbbell, and then all of a sudden it's a little more fast twitch. And if that dumbbell turned into a heavy barbell, then all of a sudden now you're activating the fast twitch fibers. But at some point, I mean, you can't go any further, and you're going to start fatigue. So the benefit of the slow twitch fibers is they're fatigue resistant.
Right.
They don't get tired. But the downside is they don't produce a lot of force. And specifically, they don't produce speed. That's why they call them fast twitch, right? They twitch quickly, or they don't twitch quickly. So fast twitch fibers have the other benefit where they twitch very quickly. They tend to produce a lot of force and power. And if you look at a fast twitch versus a slow twitch fiber, when equated for size, so even if they're the exact same size, fast twitch fibers produce anywhere between 10 and 40 times more power. But they fatigue a lot sooner, as you're alluding to there. So we still are trying to figure out a lot of this. What's optimal for what sport? And in fact, I'm literally working on this morning, and as soon as we're done chatting, I'll go hopefully get it finished. Is we were able to biopsy a lot of the people from the, you know, United States of America Olympic weightlifting team. So these are Olympians in Rio, and some of them will be Olympians in Tokyo and stuff like that. Because we've actually never biopsied any true strength or power athlete.
Mm.
We did in the early 80s, a friend of mine, Paritesh, Scandinavian guy. But again, as I mentioned, it was like three bodybuilders, you know, four weightlifters. So the sample size was really, really tiny. And the methods they used, we now know were wrong. And so we just finished up this data collection, and we're now starting to figure out, well, you know, I take a sport like weightlifting where it's one rep, right? There's no endurance factor at all to it.
Right.
Like, how much do they have? And turns out, a lot of these folks are 70, 80% fast twitch. Well, that makes them great at that sport, but ask them to do anything with more than two or three reps in a row, and they get very tired very fast.
Right.
So every one of these individuals, man, we haven't even gotten to what I'll call interval-based sports. So soccer or anything, or basketball. I don't know. Like, where's the optimal ratio between slow and fast? Honestly, we haven't done any of this research. People just, since they've been talking about fiber types for 50 years, people just assume this has been done. But it really, really hasn't. So we just don't know.
But how do you even separate fast twitch and slow twitch, the effects of the predominance of these fibers with innervation? Because, it's almost like if you find that somebody has through a biopsy, they have 20% slow twitch and 80% fast twitch. And then you have somebody else who can do exactly the same work that they can that has, because, you know, we see this all the time. Like back in the day, people would say to me, you know, it's really funny. You really don't look that strong. Like, I'm not really big and beefy like a bodybuilder, but I was always able to move a lot of weight. And I always attributed that to a more efficient neuromuscular connection, greater nerve innervation into the muscle, where one guy is maybe only firing 70% of his muscle. I'm firing 90. How do you even separate out the influence of fiber types with improved nerve innervation?
That's a really great question. When we think of human movement, I like to put it together in three parts. So part number one, there has to be some sort of neural activation. Part number two, that nerve has to make muscle contract. And part number three is the muscle actually doesn't connect to bone and make you move. Muscle connects to connective tissue. Connective tissue comes together and forms a tendon, and the tendon pulls on the bone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you're exactly right. No one factor, like fiber type, is going to explain all the performance. And so what can happen is, let's say you, I'll compare you to somebody else, and you have 80% fast switch, and they have 50% fast switch, and you're both going to do a deadlift max. Well, maybe you both deadlift 700 pounds because you have more fast switch, so you produce your power from your muscle. But the other person maybe has a little bit better levers,
uh-huh,
how long their femur is relative to their spine or something, and so they get there through biomechanics. Well, they're better at transferring force through the connective tissue because that attachment's more streamlined, or it could be a technique issue. Like, it could be all of these factors that influence human performance. So, yeah, I mean, you nailed it. Fiber type is a big component, but it is certainly not the only thing.
So, and actually, that person has more human potential, because if you can then switch a greater degree of fibers over to fast twitch fiber, given their kinesiology and their leverages, they will then be stronger, where I may be at the max at that point with my kinesiology and leverages and my fiber concentrations.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, there's other issues too, though, because we have what's called pennation angle. So the angle at which muscles go into the bone, or the tendon rather, this is biomechanics. So that changes. And when you optimize it for power or strength rather, what it does is it compromises range of motion and speed.
Hmm.
So if you optimize for range of motion and speed, you compromise strength. And so you have to be careful when you talk about optimization like this, because there's what I say is no free passes in physiology. In other words, nothing's always just good. Nothing's always bad. If you optimize one thing, you probably compromise something else. And so you just have to make that decision of, am I willing to compromise that thing over there for my sport? And so that's where it gets tricky.
Because theoretically, then orthopedic surgeons could start moving insertion points of tendons and make a guy stronger just by changing the leverages that his muscles apply to those joints.
Well, they do that all the time already.
They're doing it now?
Injury.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Not consciously, not for the sake of sport performance, but, you know, you ever had somebody that had Tommy John surgery on their elbow?
Oh, I've heard about that, yeah.
ACL surgeries?
Right.
Every time they do a tendon surgery, they're putting it probably in a slightly different spot. And so they're aware of this, and they're trying to pay attention. Like, are you a professional athlete, or are you just an everyday person? If you're an everyday person, they're probably going to move the tendon a little bit further down such that you keep better range of motion and have some speed. If you're a professional athlete and you can't sacrifice the strength, they might move it in, they might place it in a slightly different position. So the surgeons are already very well aware of this stuff.
Interesting. So now let's talk about modalities of training for a second that influence fiber types. So if I was somebody who wanted to have more slow twitch fibers, would I just simply stay away from the explosive, high resistance, high intensity training and just focus on doing like everything with a lot of reps and long duration exercises?
Okay, so really, really good stuff here. Let's tackle this in two parts. So part number one is changing the fiber type. So converting a slow to a fast or a fast to a slow. But the other part of this is simply changing the form or function of the individual fiber itself. So, translation, you can take a slow twitch fiber and it can stay a slow twitch fiber, but it can get bigger or stronger. And so that's a slightly different adaptation. And we have different prescriptions for either one of those things. So if you say, I don't want to change my profile, but I want to make my slow twitch fibers bigger or faster, or the opposite, I want to make my fast twitch fibers specifically bigger, but I don't want to lose my slow twitch fibers because I don't want to lose my endurance. Well, we can have different prescriptions for all of that stuff, and we can definitely go through the details of each one of those adaptations, but that's the two different things. You want to change the actual type, or do you want to just change how the ones you have perform? So I'll let you decide which one you want to start with.
Well, you pick. You start with the one that makes most logic to start out with that'll bridge into the next.
Okay, so let's go with changing the fiber type, all right, because I think that's probably less important. If you have a problem, it's important, but you actually sort of answered this question, which is it is very specific. I wouldn't say if you want a more slow-twitch fibers, do not avoid the fast and explosive stuff. Just make sure you add the additional volume stuff. So it's not going to hurt you. You're not going to lose slow-twitch fibers. You see the difference there?
Yeah, and that's actually how, you know, I learned that I train the way Brad Schoenfeld seems to favor over the years. And I've just instinctively adopted this because of my freshness and my level of energy at the beginning of my workout versus the end of my workout. So, you know, I always do the really heavy, more explosive, and obviously ultimately lower rep stuff early in my workout. But then as I go on, I start to do a lot more of the higher rep, and I do high reps, 25 to 30 reps with significant weight. I don't lighten it up. I mean, I struggle and I still fail at 30 reps, but I do that at the end of my workout, and I kind of believe that I'm activating and I'm still activating fast twitch fibers when I do the latter work. They just fail a lot sooner. So is that what you're saying? Like, you know, you just kind of don't ignore one or the other, blend them into the same workout.
And you could blend them in the same workout. They could be in separate workouts. But yeah, if you really want to increase the amount of slow twitch fibers you have, so you want to convert your fast twitch to your slow twitch, then yeah, in the weight room, higher sets, even sets of 100. But you can also start adding in really steady state conditioning too. So, you know, your 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, hour plus a steady state movement.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still get into a quick lift, you know, do 15, 20 minutes of heavy, and then do your 45 minutes of cardio or whatever you're going to do. You could add just an extra session throughout the week. So you're just going to add an extra half a day where you're just going to do a steady state. Well, whatever happens to be, could be at the end of the workout. Any of those combinations are going to work just fine.
So for your upper body, would you use like an upper body ergometer for that? Like if you train shoulders, triceps that day, you go grab the upper body ergometer and work it for 30 minutes?
Yeah, sure. You could do that. You could do boxing.
Uh-huh.
You could do, I mean, there's 100, you know, million things you could do. You go swimming.
Right.
Use fins and a kickboard, all right, so that it's easier on your legs and you know, focus more on your upper body. You could do circuits. There's a lot of different things you could do that way. But, I mean, boxing is my favorite for that. You just throw ones and twos on the bag for 20 minutes straight.
I like that. Yeah, I wish they had a bag. I wish they I boxed for PAL when I was a kid. I wish they had a heavy bag and a speed bag at my gym. They don't.
Just shadow box if you can. You know, just keep your legs, make sure you're not burning your legs out if you're trying to tackle your upper body.
Right.
You know, just make sure you're doing what you're not supposed to do in boxing, which is make it all upper body and no lower body.
Right.
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 But all those things would be great. And push-ups, depending on if you do a lot of push-ups, planks, hold a plank, you know, knee supported. Lots of hanging. Do lots of hanging stuff with pulls. All that stuff would be good for it.
Okay.
Depending on as long as you could do it for a long
time. Yeah, and how heavy you are. Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do if you can only hang off a pull-up bar for 20 seconds, then it's not going to work for this. But
we know about
10 minutes.
We know about the phenomenon of cross-education. Like in the in the case of you've got an injured left leg, and it's immobilized in a cast. So they say, hey, train your right leg, and your left leg will experience some of the growth impetus and maintain more muscle, lose less muscle as a result of being immobilized. Is that cross-education process body-wide? So in other words, like for me, where I'm not really training my legs very much at all right now, but I'm training my upper body really hard. And at 60 years old, I've put on a considerable amount of muscle in my upper body, which is supposed to be impossible right now. But is my lower body experiencing any benefits of my upper body workout from a muscle fiber retention factor?
Very unlikely.
Yeah, huh? It's got to be direct. It's got to be direct on the muscle. It's got to be direct.
Yeah, so maintaining nerve innervation, if it's central like that, is possible. There'll be some trickle-down effect, but not much. But the actual muscle itself needs to be challenged if you want to maintain the muscle stuff.
Interesting. So, yeah, I was
get there. Get
I was hoping you were going to go. I was hoping you were going to go. Very good question. Yes, we found. No, it's not that way. I got to get in the gym. Yeah. I got to start training legs.
Just do buys and tries all day, and your legs will blow up.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, when I first started squatting, my upper body got stronger, but that's because there is direct effect on the upper body of having that bar across your traps. So.
Well, that's different now. So the crossover between leg stuff to upper body is a lot better than upper body crossover to leg stuff.
It is, huh? Interesting.
Oh, way better. For those reasons you just mentioned, muscle mass, neural, all kinds of stuff. So that crossover is a lot better. So you're more, you're better off doing an extra day of squats than an extra one less day of tries and buys to keep your tries alive. But your hamstrings won't stay alive. Your quads won't stay alive. Your glutes will die.
One of the things that I loved to do when I was squatting was at the end of a set, I would walk up to the rack, but I wouldn't re-rack the bar. I would breathe and wait for my heart to come down before I'd rack the bar. And I used to call it wearing the weight. Mm-hmm. And when I started doing that, my lats used to be sore after the squat session. And I've always done ever since then, and I will do it again, but whenever I squat, I don't look to get the bar off my back right away. I keep it there. I breathe. I monitor my heart. I feel my heart rate coming down. And once my heart rate is down, then I rack the bar. I like to wear the weight. I feel that there's a secondary benefit that my body is getting from holding that weight and expanding my rib cage to breathe under that weight.
Oh, man, if you want to save some time in the gym, you do that, you don't have to do your abs. Boy, you're not going to believe what will happen, especially if you focus on breathing through your belly and pushing your belly button in and out, really controlling that stuff. Oh, man, that's the best core workout you'll just about ever do. That's what a large part of what the core muscles are designed to do is not necessarily just flexing of your waist back and forth, but man, intra-abdominal pressure stabilization of the spine, especially under load and fatigue, that is perfect for your core.
Yeah, I used to love doing. I started doing it at 55 because one day I racked the bar to like I did this set really fast. I racked the bar. I got out from under the bar really quick, and I had to grab onto the uprights because all of a sudden I kind of started to syncope. I was like, whoa, you know, because I got like orthostatic hypertension. My blood pressure dropped really fast, but it came right back up. So I thought to myself, you know what? From now on, I'm not going to rack the bar right away. Because when the weight is on you, your body is firing. It's when the weight goes away that your body goes, oh, we can relax now, and then it relaxes too far. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to leave the weight on my back, and I'm going to breathe until my heart rate stabilizes, and then I'm going to get out from under it. And I did that as a way not to get that lightheadedness feeling, and I never did get the lightheadedness feeling again. But God knows, my traps used to be sore, my neck used to be sore, all from wearing the weight at the end of the set. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you would not be the first person to pass out after racking the squat.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I know.
But that's
know.
A good way to get around it.
Look, I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about nutrition. So there are nutritional approaches that can influence fiber type transference as well, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about that when we get back with more of Dr. Andy Galpin. Stay tuned.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
For the past 4 months, I've been keeping a secret. Every night at bedtime, I tape my mouth shut with Somnifix strips. That's right, and here's why. Whether you snore or not, at some point in the night, almost all of us start breathing through our mouth. Since I've started using Somnifix strips, I've noticed that I sleep deeper and have seen improvements in my health, fitness, and cognitive function. That's because nose breathing activates the parasympathetic nervous system and improves nitric oxide production, and that leads to improved sleep, immunity, carbon dioxide, oxygen exchange, and much more. Oh, and if you do snore, it'll help you stop snoring. Try Somnifix risk-free. Go to somnifix.com/SHR. Get a free trial pack of Somnifix strips today. What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but 6 of their top sellers. That's right, 6 different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Don't miss tomorrow's show. Eric Broser suffered a heart attack. His doctor told him that most people would have died within an hour of the complication he had, and he held on for 10 hours before even getting to the hospital. Tomorrow's show is titled, How Do You Survive a Heart Attack? You start out with a really, really strong heart, and the way you get a really, really strong heart is through heavy resistance training. The remodeling that takes place in the heart upregulates the strength of the heart, makes the pump bigger and stronger. This is very different than the pathological changes that occur when a heart gets bigger from sitting on the sofa all day long and eating popcorn. There are really a lot of benefits, protective benefits to heavy resistance training that go unnoticed by the medical orthodoxy. We're going to talk about some of those tomorrow. We're talking right now with Dr. Andy Galpin. We're talking about muscle fiber influences through nutrition. So that sounds hard for me to believe that foods you can eat can actually influence muscle fiber. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we don't have any human data yet. But from a molecular perspective, there are a ton of studies we have identified exactly how this works from the cellular perspective. And so everything from arginine to polyphenols in apples, resveratrol, and even high-fat, high-sugar diets have all been shown quite clearly in various animal and cell culture models to cause different changes from fast to slow or slow to fast. There's also been some stuff in primates, which are not exactly human, but pretty close, and that has actually shown a very similar thing as well. So I think it's pretty obvious at this point that attrition has some effect. I don't know exactly how much. I don't know exact circumstances. I don't think it's as important as your physical training. So that's going to override a lot of these things. But the point is, I think at this point, with the science, we can say that attrition clearly has a role. We know that molecularly, again, exactly how it's working. The context, the details, we still need to flesh out, but it's there. And so everything you do, I said earlier in the program here on the show that there's no free passes in physiology. This is another example. Everything you do matters on some level. It's having an effect. It's just whether or not you realize it.
So the first two things that come to my mind is a book by Dr. Melind Watfi called Of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes, where he lays out our evolutionary gifts that lead us to building muscle, burning fat, and also becoming diabetic. Mm-hmm. And nutrient timing plays a role in building muscle, more so than the bodybuilding community understands. We should be, from an evolutionary perspective, we should be training fasted and then having a meal after that, because that is the evolutionary signature that we evolved under for millions of years. We went out and we worked hard to find food and then we ate it. And when we ate it, our body was more prone to turning it into muscle than fat. And risk actually plays a role in this because of hormones in the brain that squelch fear are the hormones that are related to hunger. So, you know, we were afraid to go out of the cave and become food until we got so hungry. Yeah. We said, the hell with it. I have no choice. I have to go get food. And when you eat after the risk plus the energy expenditure, your body super compensates by rewarding you with more tools to be a better hunter, which a lot of that has to do with strength and endurance. Anyway, okay, so that's the first thing that comes to mind when you say that. The second thing that comes to mind is a show that we did last year with Patrick Dahlen that they looked at 26 different foods and beverages and found the only one that increased telomere length was beef. And I got to believe that beef plays a role in this phenomenon. And the other thing that I have is a question. Has anybody ever biopsied untrained, obese, diabetic men to see where their muscle fibers are?
Oh, yeah, that's been done quite extensively.
What do we know about them?
So we've been talking all show about fast twitch and slow twitch fibers. Well, it's actually a lot more complicated than that. What you have also are what are called hybrid fibers. So these are fibers that are within one muscle cell, one fiber, that is half fast and half slow. So you would think, hey, this is exactly what I would want, right? Because then I have properties of both. But actually, the only people that have significant amounts of those hybrids, whether it be half fast, half slow hybrid, or there's actually another type of hybrid, which is half fast and half mega fast, the people that have the highest concentration of those are the people who are the least fit, most sick.
The high, half fast, most super fast, they're the least fit?
Yep, they have the most of the hybrids, whatever, either kind of hybrid. They have a ton of these people. So these people you just described, obese, diabetic, heart failure, kidney failure, any of these, it doesn't really matter. All of these populations that are sick have very high concentrations of these hybrids. And anyone who's physically active and healthy has a low concentration of those things.
Interesting. Now, I just thought of something. In 2011, I interviewed Ori Hofmeckler. Do you know who he is?
No.
Okay. Well, then you've never read his book. Ori Hofmeckler wrote a book called Unlock Your Muscle Gene, where he points to that hybrid fiber as a desirable fiber to acquire.
Oh, No. That's clearly shown. That's completely off cock. There's never been any evidence to show that, and there's been hundreds of papers showing that quite the opposite is the case.
Okay. And I may be wrong. Maybe it wasn't a hybrid one. Maybe it was some other fiber that he pointed at. So I don't want to say something off cover.
Yeah.
I'll be wrong.
Sure.
But anyway, so in summary, how do you train?
Oh, okay. So that's good. Based on all this stuff, it depends on my goal specifically, and my goals rotate because I still try to compete in different sports as much as I can. But the basic point is I try to look at all the different types of physical exposure and then do something that gets into all of those. And so I do on the far end of the spectrum, I'll do some long duration steady state stuff. So I might go for a couple of hours of a hike. I might do a 45-minute steady state piece where I'm breathing through my nose only on the Aerodyne bike. Some days I'll do circuit training stuff, maybe where it's really hard, high rate, heart rate's extremely high for 30, 45 minutes. Coming down the spectrum, there'll be certain days where I'll do, like you said, strength training, but sets of 20 to 30, maybe 50. I'll come all the way down on other days and do sets more of like 8 to 12. Of course, I'll complete that by also then doing some days that are very, very heavy. So heavy singles, heavy doubles, triples, and some speed work, some true speed work where it's, you know, it's long rest recovery, not fatiguing, not conditioning, when I'm moving as fast and explosive as I possibly can. So I try to do a combination of all the different things that I need my body to do to perform at its highest ability. And I can't do all of that every week. That's just a lot, although some weeks
right,
I can.
Right.
But I honestly look at it throughout kind of the month. And I try to have a reasonable balance between all those things throughout the month, unless I have a specific competition or something I'm training for, and then I'll hedge towards specificity for that 4 or 6 weeks. But then I always make sure I reset and I'll think like, oh, you know what? It's been a while since I've done anything that's been, you know, an hour of steady state. So let me get back into that a little bit. Or it's been some long time since I've done anything that's really heavy but really slow. All right, so I'll do that, you know, because slow and heavy is just really good for your connective tissue and ligament health. All right, so I'll make sure I'm peppering that stuff back in, especially if my joints start to chatter a little bit. And I'll, okay, maybe I got to go back and clean up my joints and get them healthy. And so that might be 15, 20, 30-second contractions real slow, right? But that's not very good for making me fast, and fast is important for health.
Right.
So then I'll make sure I balance that out with some speed work, so...
So why did you make a point to say breathe through your nose a moment ago?
So that's a whole separate conversation. We'll get there.
But oh no, I've recently discovered. Look, I've always been a nose breather when I exercise and when I run. But what I've learned about nose breathing, you know, the nose is actually is like the O2 sensor / carburetor of the brain and the body. And breathing through your nose is critical, especially for performance. So that is that what you are espousing here?
Because we're short on time, the quick answer is yeah. It's very, very important.
Okay, so we'll have you back on. So I'll book you. I'll have Kirkland reach out to you, and let's get you back on and talk specifically about nose breathing.
Yeah, I'll give you the name of some other guys, Brian McKenzie.
Okay.
His thing's Art of Breath and Power, Speed, Endurance. Those guys are the experts in this area. So I'll punt it to those guys.
Yeah, but I'll have Kirkland reach out to you, and we'll get them on the show because that's important. I want to just plug your book again. I want to plug your website. The website is andygalpin.com. You can go there and learn more about him. And also his book is available at amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. And the book is called Unplugged, correct?
Yep, Unplugged. The subtitle is Evolve from Technology to Upgrade Your Fitness, Performance, and Consciousness.
And remember I said this, because by the time you're 60, I may not still be on the planet. But when you get older, you can't not do this stuff every week. Remember how you said, you know, it's a lot of stuff, I can't do it every week? Because as you age, the walk back up the hill is much slower than the fall back down the hill. Like when I take off for any length of time of a particular movement, coming back, the strength isn't just there automatically. I have to keep doing this stuff every week. Or it starts to dissipate. It disappears. It really does.
I believe it, man. I believe it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the sucky part of getting older. There you go. Andy, thanks for being on the show, brother. I hope you enjoyed it.
My pleasure.
Take care. And we are going to say goodbye because that's all I got for today. And we have a great show planned tomorrow. Don't miss it when we have Eric Broser on talking about his recent heart attack. I'm going to ask him some tough questions because you expect that from me. So hope you can tune in live. And if you can't, there's always the podcast. And by the way, share a show once in a while. Be generous. Help people learn about Superhuman Radio because we can help a lot of people. You know that. The show's helped you. Let's reach out and help other people. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.